Thank you, Dr. Ken. It looked cold up there, didn't it? So the talk that I was given was, what is religion? And I believe that next week is the talk is about spirituality. So I looked up the definition of religion in the dictionary, and it said the service and worship of God or the supernatural, a commitment or devotion to a faith or an observance, a personal set of or institutionalized system of religious attitudes, beliefs, and practices. And the archaic definition is scrupulous conformity. I thought, wow, that's interesting. It's so conforming. A cause, principle, or system of beliefs held to with ardor and faith. So in the Living the Science of Mind, which we're working with this year, this is what Ernest Holmes has to say, and I'm going to repeat just a few things of what Dr. Ken said. Ernest Holmes says, religion means our attitude toward God. This attitude is based on our concept of the relationship which exists between God, the universal spirit, and us, the individual spirit. If we believe that God is some far-off divine being from whom we are isolated, we shall give up in despair, or our entire endeavor will be in seeking a reconciliation and reunion with this divine being that's out there. We are compelled to think of the spirit as either apart from us or within us. But if we can conceive of the divine being as already existing within us, no search is necessary. Instead of a search, there is an unfoldment. If we can conceive of the divine being as already existing within us, we don't need to search for it. We talk a lot in Science of Mind about recognition. We just need to recognize it, and then it will unfold within us and outpicture as our life, as our joy, as our prosperity, as our peace, as our abundance, as our balance in life. So there is a vast difference between theological dogma and spiritual consciousness. As Dr. Ken said, he thinks religion has rules, spirituality has universal laws. And I don't know about you, but the religion I was brought up in told me I was a sinner. I was born into sin. And Michael Beckwith talks about, what if you were born into original blessing? Isn't that an interesting concept? I was born into original blessing, not original sin. We were actually born with a pre-existing condition of excellence, I believe, of balance, of harmony, of wholeness. That's what we call our divine inheritance. And yet, often we're not told that. We're told that we are sinners or we have to repent. In the Bible, it actually says we are made in the image and likeness of God. And yet we are told otherwise. And you know what? I'm just reminding you what you already know at a soul level, that you're whole, that you're magnificent, that you're perfect. We know that at a soul level. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you. That's why I love really? Can you turn this on? So I'd like you to say to your neighbor, just turn to someone and say, you are a bright idea in the mind of God. So I want to give you a little bit about my story. I was raised a good Catholic girl. I went to Catholic grade school, Catholic high school. I went to church, I was confirmed, I did the whole thing. I honor that background that I had in my Catholic upbringing. In the time when I was growing up, the Mass was still said in Latin or sung in Latin. And so it was this very mysterious ritual they did with this these words I didn't understand and incense, and they wore robes, and it was very formal and just mysterious, different from, I think, today if you go to a Mass. But there was something about it that was just had my eyes open, and yet I had to confess every week for my sins and get on my knees and do that, you know, repentance thing. And then as I grew up, it just didn't feel right to me. It didn't fit me. It was like a worn-out coat. And I discovered metaphysics in many different ways. I discovered shamanism. I discovered different mystery schools. And so I discovered Course in Miracles. So I started looking into other ways to feel something that wasn't up in the sky looking down upon me and going like that. Anybody have that? So I walked into a religious science church, and I felt at home. I felt that they were speaking a language that I could understand, and they gave me permission to just be who I was. And then to realize that my thinking had a huge impact on my life outpicturing. I never knew I had a choice. I wasn't taught that. And so that is, to me, what a huge gift is in the science of mind, religious science. Philosophy is that idea that we have choice. We're not going to tell you what to do. You tell yourself what to do. So it's interesting. The Centers for Spiritual Living, and this church used to be called the Church of Religious Science. You may not know that. And they changed it because they wanted to be more global and expansive in the idea of spiritual instead of religious science. But I actually was thinking about religious science and how it's really a cool little thing because it combines religion and science. And Ernest Holmes in the 20s and 30s was way ahead of his time with the science part of it, saying that you need to change your thinking, you need to think positively, do affirmations and do spiritual mind treatment, and it will shift your awareness, your consciousness. We didn't talk about neuroscience at the time. And now with Joe Dispenza and all the neuroscientists, and you can't get away from, you know, not knowing that you're changing the neural pathways in your brain when you do affirmations and things like that. So the science aspect that Ernest Holmes talked about in religious science is right here, right now. It's very, very relevant to our existence today. And interesting, Paramahansa Yogananda, who was at the same time as Ernest Holmes, espousing the Eastern tradition, he called it his way the science of religion. Isn't that fascinating? So when you read Autobiography of a Yogi, he talks about science of religion. And when I saw that movie Awake, did anyone see the movie Awake about Yogananda? Great documentary. We should show it here. He mentioned the science of religion, and I was like, well, that's religious science. So these two great minds were on the planet at the same time saying basically the same thing. And I honor my religious background. I remember going to a lecture one time with Marianne Williamson, and someone said that they were a recovering Catholic. And she just looked at them and smiled and said, oh, honey, honor where you came from. Honor your tradition because it brought you here. So I don't say that, and I'm proud to say that I was raised a Catholic because that was my background. And I honor my mother, Mary Grace. She was very, very devout, and she always had her rosary beads. She always had her rosary beads in her hand. And what's interesting to me is I now have my mala beads in my hand all the time. And if you don't know what mala beads are, they're from different traditions, the Buddhist tradition and Hindu tradition. And there are 108 beads that you can say affirmations on, and you just go through with your fingers. And this is how I start my meditation every day, is I have an affirmative thought or an idea of God, and I just say it silently to myself, and I work my way around the mala bead. And so I'm sure my mother is just smiling from heaven I've got something in my hand. It might not be the rosary. So I am very curious to know where you came from in your religious background, religious traditions. And so I'm going to just invite you to tell us what your upbringing was. If you had none, or if you were brought up without religion, say that as well. So we can kind of just get a sense. This is just like an experiment. I want to just see where we all come from, if you're willing to do that. And if you want to pass, you just pass. But it's just going to be a fun thing. So what we're going to do is I'm going to start here, and you're just going to say where you came from.
I also came from a Catholic upbringing, parochial schools, grade school and high school, and even a seminary for a couple of years.
I was brought up in the non-denominational Christian church in Santa Rosa. And, I kind of flip-flopped. We went from, like, Assemblies of God to the non-denominational thing. But then I found Episcopalian. And then I found this.
I was raised without any type of religion or spirituality in my family. Many of them are atheists. Most are agnostic. And I found metaphysics 34 years ago. And,
Congregationalist, Baptist, Unitarian Universalist, shamanism, and here.
Baptized Catholic, and then went to GLIDE in San Francisco.
What's your religion?
I was raised Southern Baptist, went to Sunday school every Sunday morning and church after, and if we were good and we talked our dad out of it, we didn't go to church because that was for adults.
I was raised by an agnostic mother and an atheist father, and I went to church with anybody who would take me. So my three best friends, that was Methodist, Jewish, and Catholic.
I started out Episcopalian and then ended up just mostly in a community church because the community I lived in did not have an Episcopal church. And then I found New Thought after some years in between.
Episcopalian.
I was a... brought up Jewish, bar mitzvahed, and about, maybe 12 years ago, discovered Science of Mind. I discovered it in West Sacramento. And, I studied the Kabbalah a little bit after for a while, but this is definitely where I'm at right now, right here.
So I was a social Methodist until about 14, and then I found my spirituality in nature until about 50, when I found Unity, and from there, CSL.
I was raised in Utah as a Mormon, but my mom really emphasized my connection with God and that it didn't depend on any tradition. It was just the faith, and then evolved through the metaphysics.
I found the Episcopal Church by myself when I was 9 and started going by myself, and I went from 9. I was baptized and confirmed and went until I was 16.
Well, I've been a lot of things, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Buddhist, Unitarian, and I don't think I left anything out, and then now here.
Thank you.
I was raised Lutheran and confirmed. Southern Baptist in Texas, and it wasn't until Herb and I were married and living out here we found Unity, and then Science of the Mind.
I was raised Methodist, and I was an altar boy for a long time, and then Jenny and I changed everything. We found each other. I must tell you, in Vietnam, you said religion is what you bring to the table, basically. But when Billy Graham came to Vietnam in Benoit, man, the place was just packed. You could not get in there. And he says, hey, guys, I'm not Bob Hope. I'm Billy Graham. And everybody just raised. And you saw the thing go around taking a collection. It was just packed. They had to get a five-gallon drum to pass, not 5 gallon, yeah, 5 gallons to pass around. He collected so much money. The religion was really there in Vietnam.
Your religious background?
Yeah. Southern Baptist, and my mother had a lot of Eastern beliefs, so which led me to the Science of Mind.
I was raised Catholic, including parochial school, and found Eastern philosophies, Buddhism, and Zen as a young adult, and now I'm here.
Baptized Catholic, and then went to Lutheran Sunday school, and then left about middle school. Just knew there had to be more, and also just felt like, you know, the spirituality, it should be fun and zestful. Everything was always so sobering. I was looking for something that could be fun and zestful. So I love this.
And as we're doing this, I invite everybody to just stay open and notice what feelings come up for you. Any feelings when you hear things, just to hold everyone in this sacred space. And what was your religious background?
I was, too, was raised a Catholic and went through elementary school anyway. And I was looking for a church when I met Mikey, and she introduced me to the Science of Mind here, and I'm so grateful.
You should be.
My parents did not go to church, and there were 5 of us kids, and we were told that we could go to any church we wanted to, but we could not be baptized into a church or make a commitment until we were 18. I never made a commitment. I just kept searching, and about 30 years ago, I was told by a friend, you need to go to the Religious Science Church here in Santa Rosa, and I went, and like Suzanne Grace said, that's where I felt at home. The first time I ever walked in, it just was so different.
I was raised with no religion at all, but told I could go with anybody to church. So I did, looking. But nobody was happy until I found religious science. So.
Well, my family were Baptists, but then when I was in, early high school, my mother discovered Unity. And I think she had every Unity book there was. And I just absorbed it. I didn't study it. I just lived it, I guess.
Your religious background?
My parents were Christian Scientists. And by the time I got to middle school, I had discovered both Unity and religious science. And I started going myself to the Oakland Center from 13 or 14 years old, so pretty much my whole life.
I was raised a strict Catholic with heavy doses of guilt and shame. And then when I got married, my ex-husband is a preacher's kid, and so I started going to a Southern Baptist church and was a member of that for a number of years. Then I went back to the Catholic Church and then here.
I was raised strict Catholic, and in my early 20s, I left there and became what I laughingly called myself a devout agnostic. Devout agnostic, that's what I was. But I found Unity in the late 90s and then came here about 4 years ago.
Well, my mother was Methodist and my father was Anglican. And this was in England. And they got married and became Catholic, would you believe it? So I was raised in Catholic high, education of a grade school in a Jesuit high school. I was so impressed with what they were doing. They not only taught you what to think, but how to think. So I became one of them after I graduated from high school. And then I let's see, where did I go? Well, after that, I ended up in paradise, literally. And next door neighbor to my lovely wife, and she introduced me. I was going to religious science up in paradise, but then when I found how we both got along and loved the science of mind, why, now I'm very happy to be thinking. And of course, you know, it's what you think is what changes your life. And Barbara did that.
Well, I was raised in a family where God always said no. And through the years, I was really searching for something until I walked into a religious science church in the middle part of the 70s. And there is where I found that God always says yes. So when you know God is all there is, how can you help but not know that God says yes?
Well, I like to refer to my family that I grew up in as Easter Sunday Methodists. You know, once a year they thought church might be good for us, so it was always Easter Sunday. I read Yogananda's autobiography of a yogi when I was 18 or 19, and that really kind of ignited a spark in me, a curiosity about spirituality. And for years I was involved in the Unitarian Universalist Church, and found a lot going there. I particularly loved their quest for social justice and equality in the world. And when I met Bonnie, she introduced me to Science of Mind, and I just found that this was the next logical step for me, to a little deeper spirituality.
I had a smattering of Methodists when we were at civilian churches or civilian towns, but I was raised in Navy military chapels, much like this, that were non-denominational. So I never really got differences between different denominations, and we also shared it with Catholic and Jewish. So I spent my high school years arguing with one of my best friends who became a Catholic priest about religion, and he said, and I said, nobody's going to go to hell because they aren't Catholic. He said, oh, yeah, they are. And I never got that. I just always got that there's some high, and I discovered personal growth trainings and metaphysics in the 70s, and then I discovered friends kept saying, you have to go to this church, religious science. I said, I don't have to go to any church, no. And they made me go, and I just walked in Marin County, and it just felt like home. People, they could hear me, and I could hear what they were saying.
I was raised as Presbyterian and Methodist. And then I was married for 26 years, and I had to get a divorce in order to get on my spiritual path. So I've, other than being Catholic, I've done pretty much what you've done in all the different ways. But ending up here has been, this is it. And I really appreciate it.
I guess you could say I was raised with Mormon values, but my mom never felt at home there, so she was always searching. So she spent like my childhood kind of looking through all of the religions to try and find home for her. And metaphysics was kind of the thing that resonated the most with us for a while. And then I went through some hard times, and I decided that I was angry at God because I didn't really have a clear understanding. And so I wasn't really an atheist, but I wasn't really happy, so we just didn't talk. So then I chose a philosophy, which was Buddhism, but that never felt like home. So then when I met Tony, I was just becoming interested in religious science. And so now it feels like home.
Yeah, my upbringing was, my father was Catholic and my mother was Jewish.
So I sort of went along with both for quite a while till I made my own choice.
I don't even know where to begin because I have studied everything there is. I think when I was 7, I took myself to get baptized. My family didn't have any religion, and I have been searching myself my whole life, and I've checked everything out. I even went to a Catholic church and did a novena, but nothing ever felt right, and I just kept searching and searching, and all the books that people mention, I have those all at home, and however many Sundays it was that I came here for the first time, it was like everything opened up for me. I have been searching for this my whole life and reading everything there is and never finding home for me, and this was home.
I was raised in the Episcopal Church, confirmed. My dad was Episcopal, went to Sunday school, but my mom and her family were Russian Orthodox. So when we would visit her family, we would go to the Russian Orthodox churches.
Thank you all for sharing. That took a little longer than I thought, but I think it was fascinating, isn't it? I hope you felt something of... We're all coming from different places, and yet we're all arrived in this one place. And that's no accident. We talk a lot about divine appointment, and I believe we're all here by divine appointment. In this particular philosophy of religious science or science of mind. And you know, it's interesting. Ernest Holmes said that he was a very religious person. And he said... which will probably surprise you because I'm not Orthodox or conventional, but I am religious because I don't believe in anything but God. Ernest Holmes said that. And he said, you can't go any further than that, you know. He says, but I actually don't believe in the kind of God people believe in because that would be insanity. We must strive to keep sane if possible. He says, all great religions have believed in a spiritual system, but their emotionalism have caused them to pervert what they really believe in into a dogmatism and rules. Each religious group thinks that his religion is a little better than the others, and it is for him or her. He also talks a little bit about it would be kind of silly to, if you really loved a piece of art, let's say, and you put it up in your house, it would be kind of silly, wouldn't it, to say, well, if you don't have that piece of art hanging in your house, you're not going to heaven. So as science of minders, religious scientists, we believe that the universe is a spiritual system governed by an intelligence and acting as law. It's pretty simple. Ernest says God is a synonym for wholeness. God is a synonym for wholeness. He says the approach to this reality should be simple, direct, and spontaneous. The secret place of the Most High is neither in the holy mountain of Samurai or in Jerusalem. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And it's calling you. There's no power which either withdraws from us or advances towards us. There's no more God in one place than in another. And in the place where we are, God is. And where we recognize the divine presence, there, the divine presence responds, not some of it, but all of it. All of it responds to us. There's no little or big in the divine. So we must apply our feeling of religion, and I feel like my religion has led me to my spirituality. It's as if my humanity is leading me to my divinity. That's how I look at it. And so we must move into a place of cooperation and recognition and understanding that that oneness is within us. And how do we do that? We have to apply our spiritual principles. Well, we start every day in gratitude. We start every morning in connecting to that divine presence within and set our day up that way. We have to be willing to see with the eyes of God, with the eyes of love, with the eyes of Christ. There's a great Hindu
proverb, the guest is God. It could be your neighbor. The neighbor is God. Or change the word to love, or whatever word you use. And then Ernest Holmes has a saying, God is a welcome guest in the home of my thinking. I really like that. So if we started our day in the morning by welcoming God, the divine presence within us, it would change a lot. So I'm going to close with another Ernest Holmes from Richard Living. That was actually yesterday's talk, or yesterday's reading. The omnipresence, omniscience, omnipotence, and omniaction of God as infinite mind are the security of us. These eternal verities sustain us at every instant and in every place. They are ours in days of good cheer, and they are ours in times of despair. They are never lost. They are merely forgotten in our confusion. We are not under the law of material problems and world beliefs. We are under the law of the Spirit, which maintains us in freedom and peace. All that God is around us and within us, and is eternally asking of us, we simply recognize it. Jesus had the capacity to recognize God where those around him were recognizing evil. We too must see the possibility of God rather than the impossibilities that the world believes. Our security lies in this ability to know truth, regardless of conditions, and to know love, regardless of hurts. Let's take that into prayer. So take a breath with me and gently go within. Knowing that all that God is now alive in my world, my body, and my mind. This presence and power is real to me this day, and I rest in its eternal embrace. I am secure, for his mind thinks through me, and his love enfolds me. I am not afraid of any negative situation, for I know that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Nothing can disturb me, for divine order is now established in my mind, and perfect peace now fills my heart. There are no impossibilities today, for God, love, is the eternal possibility of greater good, greater love, greater peace, greater health, and wholeness. And so it is. Amen.